Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thornton going to throw. Touchdown. Desmond Clark.
Welcome back to the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show featuring Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. I am Hub Arkish. You want to visit that sportsbook in East Chicago every chance you get. And if you want to visit with us today, you can listen on the radio. You can give us a call in a little while at 312-644-6767. Or you can come out and see us in person at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. We're at 1225 East 9th Street. Really easy to get to right off of 355. We are here courtesy of our friends at Miller Lite. Hold true. And it is now our great pleasure in our Where Are They Now segment to welcome in Chicago Bears tight end Desmond Clark. And I know where Des is. He's in the north suburbs because Des has stuck around ever since he was a Chicago Bear. It is great to have you with us this morning, Desmond. How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing well. And Hub, I actually moved to the city recently, so I'm actually closer to the action.
So you got more insurance business down there. Is that the deal?
Hey, you know it as a businessman, right?
You got to go where the money is, man. Absolutely. So, Des, actually, before I'm going to hand it off to Olin and Patrick, but before we tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, I know that you were very active for a while with the NFL Alumni Association, and I know you've stayed active in a lot of causes around the city.
Absolutely. I served 3 years as president for NFL Alumni. It was a great pleasure to serve the guys who played the game, guys who put in the sweat, blood, and tears to make the game what it is today, and to see everybody benefit from, you know, what they did in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and how the game is steadily progressing now. That was an honor to be the president here of the chapter for NFL Alumni. And then now I'm just out, you know, trying to hustle like everybody else and co-own an insurance company called The Insurance People, and that's what takes up most of my time today.
All right, Des, let's dive into some football. Let the people here in Chicago know your background. You're an all-ACC wide receiver at Wake Forest. We played against each other a couple times. You get drafted by Denver, and you turn into this great NFL tight end. How was that transition going from wide receiver?
Duke and Wake Forest. What was the crowd like?
I can talk to my mom and dad from the field.
We're not talking about that right now, Olin. We're talking about something else.
We're not talking about
that. We're talking about Des.
That was a serious question, Des. How many people are in it?
All right, let's get into the more serious question. What was that transition like? Because you have Trey Burton here in Chicago who made the transition from like quarterback to tight end. You got Adam Shaheen who came from a Division III school who was kind of a stand-up tight end basketball player. How difficult was that for you to make that transition?
It was difficult, more from a skill set point of view. I played quarterback in high school, so I had a understanding of offense. And then when I got to Wake Forest and played receiver, you know, I seen it from a different perspective. So when I got to the NFL and I played and I was drafted as a tight end, I understood the game offensively from a skill position perspective. So it was more so about building the skills to play tight end and not so much about understanding the game. That was the hard part because I couldn't block my way out of a wet paper bag when I first got to the NFL. So it was just developing those skills and really, man, just getting around some really good tight ends out in Denver who one was a massive he just blocked anything that came in his way, Dwayne Carswell, and everybody knows Shannon Sharp, smaller tight end like myself who just had – all of these little different tricks of the trade to get it done when you're not as big as those other guys. So learning from those two guys and being in that system early on, I think really helped me to become a complete tight end.
Yeah, and one thing people don't understand, Des, is we really did, when Des was here under Ron Turner, which a lot of our success was under 2005 and 2006, was the tight end. We were a power offense, right? We ran power O, and the tight end always ended up with the one-on-one block. And people don't understand how big of a key Desmond Clark was to what we were doing because, while, you know, Reuben Brown, Roberto Garza, Fred Miller, John Tate were double-teaming the D-tackle, guess who had the one-on-one block? It was Desmond Clark, was the guy who was there for a lot of our success, and I posted a video on Twitter with him motioning and hitting Lofa Tatupu, and it shows you just what kind of guy this guy was, Pat, and he took it seriously. He was a pro's pro. I enjoyed every year I got to play with Des because I knew that when I got in that huddle, Desmond Clark was there for the fight. And, Des, I wanted to ask you about, as a tight end, when you got to go from, and you were a wide receiver, when you got to go from running routes, getting 30, 40 yards down the field to digging a defensive end out, how did you develop that mentality in the game where, hey, whatever they ask me to do, I'm just going to do whatever it is? Because right now, as you can see, and I'd like to hear you talk about a little bit, the Bears have a pretty big hole and looking for a good all-around tight end.
You know what? I'll tell you this. When I was out in Denver, we ran more of a zone scheme, so I didn't have to, you know, do all of that power football and one-on-one with a defensive end. You know, that came up a couple times in the game, so I could deal with that. But when you get here to Chicago and that scheme that you're talking about that we ran, you know, we had to do that 5 to 10 times a game. And that was a big part of what we did. And honestly, it was because of the people I played around and the culture that is developed. When you come into that locker room, and Olin, you know, you had probably the biggest role of developing that culture in that locker room. You get it done. You do what you have to do to get it done. And it was one of those things that, hey, everybody else is doing their job. I just got to do my job, too. And that's basically what it came down to. Just, I got to do my job. I can't let down the rest of the team. I can't let down the other 10 people on this offensive side that's depending on me to make this block against this 275-pound defensive end that I'm 25 pounds lighter than. I just got to find a way to get it done. And it may not always look pretty. It may not always be clinical, but you just had to get it done.
Des, you're talking about learning how to put your hand on the ground and blocking. Adam Shaheen right now is struggling with that. How much more patience should we have for him as a fan, you know, looking back at your career, maybe how long it took you to kind of understand the technique and the you know, understanding, you know, what you were just talking about as playing that way and getting your mind right?
So, and a lot of people are probably not going to like what I have to say about Shaheen and a few more players on the team. This is a hard game to play. You know, you got, especially, you're playing up against other professional athletes, and they're trying to whoop your tail just as well as you trying to get the better of them. But when you get into your third year, and especially your fourth year, if you haven't developed whatever skill set that you need to develop to get the job done by then, chances are you're never going to develop it. And that's where I'm at with Shaheen. You know, when he came in, big 6'7" tight end, you get excited. But for one, he can't stay healthy, and you know, that's just sometimes luck. But then when you do see him on the field, he's not producing where we think he should be producing. So patience is out the door for me because I haven't seen the type of development that you need to see in the third year from anybody that's in their third year. So patience is running out for me.
You know, Des, we get a lot of back and forth with Matt Nagy's offense. If the Bears were playing it the way they're playing it in Kansas City or Philadelphia, I think everybody would be happy about it, but it's just not worked here. And one of the reasons is because the offense is so dependent on the tight end position. The Chiefs have got best tight end in football right now in Travis Kelce. The Eagles have got probably the best tight end in the NFC in Zach Ertz. And so I'm wondering, as you look at Nagy's offense and see how tight end friendly it is, A, would you have liked to have played in it? And do you see that so much of the struggles of the offense overall may be coming from that tight end position right now?
I'm not going to put it all on the tight end position. They need to have more productivity. But I think everybody on the offensive side of the ball, from the offensive line to the quarterback, to the running backs, and the receivers. I mean, we're not seeing productivity out of any. I don't even know what the running backs or anybody who could say that they're doing a really good job right now on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's a collective effort where they haven't performed. But the tight end position in particular, you know, we're used to seeing a tight end group catch, you know, 60, 70, 80 passes a year out of the collective group, and we're not getting that. And then you really don't see them running the ball behind the tight end either. So it just leads you to believe that we need to do something at that position to start getting more productivity.
You know, Dez, I know you said that you're done with Adam Shaheen, and I can see your frustration. I think it's everybody in Chicago's frustration right now. But I think where a lot of these young kids miss is sometimes finding a guy like you who started on the back of someone's roster and developed their skills, mostly because you're going to do whatever it takes to learn from guys who have done it before. And I'm just wondering, Adam Shaheen walks in a room, finds Desmond Clark and asks you, what do I need to do to improve my game? What are you telling him?
First of all, we're going out and we're working together in practice. One of the biggest compliments, Olin, that I was ever paid was by Greg Olsen last year when they drafted a guy in the second round down there in Carolina. I read an article when he said, yeah, I'm a dude just like Desmond did me when I was drafted in the first round up in Chicago. He didn't give me anything. He made me work my ass off, and he helped me work my ass off to be as good of a tight end as I can be. And that's, he said that he attributed a lot of his success to me just making him work for it. And that was the biggest compliment of all time, because that's how I came up under Shannon Sharpe and Dwayne Caldwell. That's how a lot of guys got really good coming up under your tutelage and your leadership. And to your point, that's what it's all about. If you don't have anybody to teach you what you need to do at that level, at this level, it's going to be hard for you to try to figure it out yourself, because if you've never done it, how are you supposed to ever learn how to do it unless somebody is teaching you?
Dez, you were a great teammate. We had a great locker room with Olin in there and all those guys. Let's go back in the way back machine to back when we were playing. What are some of your favorite memories you had when you were a Bear back here?
I'm sure just like everybody else, it's that locker room, man. We had so much fun in the locker room, playing dodgeball, playing baseball, and everything that we did in that locker room. People ask me today, do you miss the game? And I tell them, no, but I miss the locker room, because that's where we became brothers. That's where, you know, that bond was cemented, so to speak, outside of anything that we did on the field. That's what I miss the most, just being around the guys, and that's something that you cannot replace no matter where you're at professionally now. I don't think that can ever be replaced.
Dez, I always ask this question to former teammates. Is there a certain play or a game where you look back and you're like, holy crap, I just did that?
Yeah, that one that Olin posted. Olin, you guys know I didn't talk a lot of
trash. You know what I liked about that, though? When I saw it, what I really liked about it was that's what you always got me going, because Dez was going to talk trash to people on that field. There was going to be a fight when Desmond Clark was blocking somebody. He was going to battle you, and then he was going to let you know about it. And that always – I mean, when you got teammates like that, Hub and Pat, who are ready for a fight, they're like, you better get ready too. And if Dez is talking trash, and hey, look, I'm in. I mean, if we're talking trash to this other team, let's do it.
Yeah, when I looked at that play, I was like, what in the hell did I just say right there? I know it would have had to be censored. But you didn't ask me this question, but my favorite play of all time was an NFC Championship game when I don't know what play it was, but I was backside, and we handed the ball off to Thomas Jones going to the right side. He reversed field, and it was just me and Thomas coming back to the left side. It was, I think, one or two defenders in front of us, and I made the block for Thomas to get in the end zone. And one of the reasons that's one of my favorite plays is, of course, that's one of the plays that helped steal the game. But Thomas Jones was one of my favorite players to play with, and for me to make that block for him to get in the end zone to take us to the Super Bowl, that's one of the all-time favorite plays.
You've got the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkush. We're here at 670 The Score. Visit Ameristar's new Sportsbook in East Chicago. And if you want to join us live today, we are out at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. We are here courtesy of our friends at Miller Lite. hold true. And we are in their, our, I should say, Where Are They Now segment. You just heard Thomas Jones' name. Thomas was with us a few weeks ago. This week we are lucky enough to have Desmond Clark here. And Des, you know, one of the things about this football team, you guys, it's interesting, these teams that go from worst to first and suddenly they're all stars and everybody's going to be great. Well, historically, those two teams do not, or those teams, I should say, don't do well the year after they have their big comeback. Of the 25 teams going back to 2001 that went from last place to first place in their division, only seven have actually made it back to the playoffs the year after they finished first. One exception to the rule, the 2005 Bears went from worst to first, and then in 2006 were the only one of those 25 teams to get to a Super Bowl. What was different about that team, about that group? I know you're talking about your locker room and everything, but you guys had tremendous success kind of out of nowhere and then kind of multiplied on that as opposed to most of these teams that take a step back.
I mean, you got to look at the team that was on the field starting out in 2005. We had a bunch of guys who they just wanted to be excellent. And starting up front with Reuben Brown and Olin Krutz, and I mean, even with Pat Manley, long snapping, best long snapper in the game, and the way that we practiced and the way that we got things done, we wanted to be excellent on the field. It wasn't about anything but going out and performing and doing what we had to do to win. You go to Thomas Jones. I mean, right now you don't see a whole lot of players being talked about on our current roster that, you know, how we talked about Olin, how we talked about Reuben, how we talked about Thomas Jones, how we talked about Urlacher, and the work ethic and the attention to detail and the leadership that all of these guys displayed, and it filtered down to the rest of the troops on the team. And I think it was more about that than anything else. And right now, I think we need to find the guys on this team that exemplify those same type of traits that we had as leaders on our team, to get the rest of the guys to buy into, hey, this is how we have to work. I can tell you this, wasn't nobody coming on that practice field not working around Olin. No, wasn't nobody coming on that practice field not getting it done on the defense, and they had to go face Urlacher. It just wasn't going to happen. So I don't know if we have that right now. I could be wrong. I don't know these guys personally, but you just don't hear other guys talking about the leadership qualities like we used to talk about our leaders on those 05, 06, 07 teams.
Des, you had a great career, and you also, you know, had a nice career coming out of high school and college as well at Wake Forest. I know you're doing some public speaking now and doing a great job of that. What is your message now you're giving out to people?
Same thing I'm talking about here. Lead well. What leaders must do to excel in the pursuit of excellence. What is excellence? What is that all about? And principles of winning. And a lot of this stuff, gentlemen, I'm talking about things that I went through with a lot of my teammates and a lot of my coaches, and things that just was established in me as an athlete from the age of 6 all the way through the age of 34, and how that translates to everyday life and how that can get you to that certain standard that everybody wants to get to of excellence in any walk of life that you could think of, just by doing simple little things in your life to get there. So one of the things that I love to do, because it was given to me, I love to give back the lessons that I was learned, that was taught to me, that I learned. I just like to give those back to people so they could take them and do what they need to do with them to become the best people that they can be in any walk of life.
Hey, Des, we're going to have to run. We really appreciate you taking time out for us this morning. Before we go, one more time, the name of that insurance group, if there's a website or a phone number, let us know.
Yeah, you can't forget the name, because it's simply called the Insurance People. That's who we are. And the website is www.insurancepl.com. And, yeah, if you have any home, auto, commercial, insurance needs, hey, give us a call.
Guys, Des is a former player who Olin and Patrick can speak well of from being teammates. He's also somebody I've gotten to know better since his retirement, an outstanding member of the community, and well worth checking out if you have any insurance needs or if you need a public speaker. Des, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Good luck with the new group.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, guys, we're going to take a very quick break here at 670 The Score. When we return, we are going to hear from Mark Grody from Soldier Field very shortly. We assume to make it official, if you're just joining us and haven't heard the news, reports are that Matt Stafford, after 136 consecutive starts at quarterback for the Detroit Lions, will not go today. Jeff Driscoll, if you don't know who he is, it's because he hasn't played a whole lot in the NFL, will be at quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Can the Bears snap their four-game losing streak? We're breaking it all down for you right here at The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Getting a win in general, but for this to be a division game, especially at home, you know, and everything we went through this, you know, so far this season, you know, it's just time for everybody to step up.
That's Chicago Bears All-Pro safety Eddie Jackson talking at you on the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkers. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. Come on out and see us today if you like, guys. We are broadcasting from Coombs Corner Sports Grill out in Lockport. We have a great crowd in here. These guys were here before we were. I mean, they've been lining up. Everybody's having a great time. The Bloody Marys are flowing. The Miller Lite is flowing. We are here courtesy of Miller Lite. Hold true. And we're going to be here all day. Big Cat Williams will be joining us in a while. We're going to watch the game out here. Got 2 hours of postgame for you as well. So if you're in the Lockport area, come on out. If you're not in the Lockport area, hop in the car and come and see us. We would love to visit with you today. We are going to be joined by Mark Grody in the next 5-10 minutes with the official inactives from Soldier Field. If you are just joining us and just hearing the news, Adam Schefter is reporting that Matt Stafford will be inactive today.
He is inactive. Their inactives are out now, and Matthew Stafford is inactive along with Tracy Walker, Michael Jackson, Miles Killebrew, the safety. Bo, I don't want to mess up his name.
That's what we have Grody for, man.
That's right. No, he does the Bears ones, though. I'm trying to help the listener out. Deshaun Hand and Romeo Okwara. So they're out for the Detroit Lions.
Well, and Deshaun Hand, another one of those big interior tackles. And this is a team that has struggled to stop the run. Olin, it is now official. We now know Matt Stafford will not be on the football.
I'm waiting for kickoff.
Guys, it's obviously been a long 3 or 4 weeks. We've analyzed it every way we can analyze it. We keep looking at this football team and trying to figure out why they're not winning. And you know, it's easy to look at some of the coaching decisions that have been made. But at the end of the day, and we've talked about this on and off the last few weeks, I need you guys to explain it to our listeners. You can go out there as an NFL player and believe in your head that I'm out here doing everything I've been taught to do and everything I've always needed to do, and yet you don't kind of get on that fine edge, that razor's edge, where you're playing your best football, where you're making the plays. And I think from my observation, more than anything, and I go back to Bourbonnais, this team showed up, I think, believing maybe that they were a little better than they are, and now they're struggling to get back to the point where they're making those plays and doing those things that made them one of the best teams in the NFC last year.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Hub. It's hard to catch up on preparation, right? To be a good football team, that starts in April. That you have to be all in April, working slowly to get better every month, every day, every week. I know it sounds like a cliche, Manly, but it's really what happens. And if you start reading your own press clippings and thinking you're better than you are and you don't have to improve, because, look, even the coaching staff, it was a different offseason for them, right? They were doing golf tournaments. And Coach Nagy, by no fault of his own, you should enjoy it after you're Coach of the Year. But some things change. I know the defense is still playing well, but chemistry changes when you change guys in the building, when you take Fangio and Ed Donatell and the outside linebacker coach, now I forget his name, who was highly regarded.
Ted Bonacchino.
The one the Bears had last year. I forget his name now, but he's in Denver too now.
Yes.
Yeah, and he went to Denver. And then you change that with what Hub just said, Ted Monachino and Pagano, two very good football coaches, and you add Brad Childress to the building. When things have changed that much, Pat, I think you have to take an honest look at what has actually changed in your building and assess everything. And maybe this is, you know, getting personal for me, obviously, but maybe it's not the center position.
Maybe we'll get to that here in a minute.
I'm done with that.
Well, there's news about that, too, I think, coming up. But I want to go back to Olin back when we played, and it was a long time ago, the 2005.
Wasn't that long for me, Pat.
2005-2006 season, that it actually helped us, that success in 2005. We had a locker room that fed off of that. We had Reuben Brown on earlier in the year, and we had a belief that we could get to the Super Bowl, but we used that belief and turned it into hard work.
Yeah, but not a lot of change with who was in the building,
Agreed.
Not a lot of change with coaching staff. Ron Rivera didn't leave until the next – I shouldn't say leave. wasn't asked to leave by Lovey until the next year. I'm just saying, Pat, and this is not saying any of these guys are bad football coaches. This is not saying it's any of these guys' fault. What I'm saying is when you're in charge of the building, like Coach Nagy is, you have to look at everything when things have turned like this. And you have to take a look at who's new in your building, what has actually happened to your football team. And I think that right now, through this year, that's a weakness of his.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single-game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Guys, we've got to take a very quick break. We'll have Mark Grody with us as soon as we get back right here at the Score.
I think so. You know, again, I think we've had some patches of that. You know, like I said before the San Diego game, you know, we had been pretty good in the red zone. You know, I think last week we got in the red zone, twice, and we scored, you know. So, again, I mean, it's just been kind of game to game. It's just been, you know, ups and downs, you know. So, again, we just got to try to put it all together.
That is Chicago Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson talking at you here on the Sportsbook of the Ameristar pregame show featuring Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I am Hub Arkish. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. And, guys, yeah, thank you so much. We are out here at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. A great, great crowd out here this morning. Come on out and see us if you like. We're going to be here all day, courtesy of our friends at Miller Lite. Hold true. We are now, however, going to head out to Soldier Field, where Mark Grody, our Chicago Bears beat reporter here at The Score, joins us. You, of course, can also hear Mark on the sidelines during the broadcast of Bears games on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. Mark will be with you. I'm sorry, Jeff will be with you along with, let me try that again. Mark will be with you along with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer with the call of the game. As soon as it's over, get right back here for the best post game in town with James Big Cat Williams and Patrick Manley. Mark, big news out there today. We've had the news about Matt Stafford for a couple hours, but even more interesting now, and our listener is going to hear it for the first time, apparently Bears tight end Adam Shaheen will be inactive. Now, he was not on the injury list Friday, so I assume that this is just a healthy scratch.
Sure, it sure looks like a healthy scratch to me, Hub. I did not hear of any injuries throughout the week, and the people I've talked to today have said, no, he's not hurt. So, yeah, it looks like a healthy scratch. This might be something that has been coming for a while, considering the way he has played this year. And then maybe the last straw was that the late fumble last week on special teams. I mean, that was one of those head shaker moments right there. So, you know, it's jarring because he is a former second round pick, and this is obviously, and you know, we'll find out more after the game, this is admitting failure to some degree in that position. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about filling that spot. And, yeah, all sorts of news here today. You guys, I know you guys have sure been talking about it. Matthew Stafford is indeed officially inactive today. And, yes, Cody Whitehair will be the starting center today for the Bears. And James Daniels slides over to the guard position. And also one other thing, too, is that Eddie Goldman is not listed as inactive. In other words, Eddie Goldman should be good to go, and I'll be monitoring him as well to see if he's okay with that thigh injury that he suffered last week.
Hey, Mark, talk to us a little bit about around the team, what they're saying about this switch at center and how they expect that to improve their offense.
I just talked to Cody Whitehair, actually, Olin, and you know he was out here about an hour ago with a big bag of balls and, you know, practicing his work in the end zone. And he came over to the sideline and I asked him, you know, how is it, you know, being switched back? And he told me it was like riding a bike, and that they practiced in this configuration throughout the week. He said it was good. And he said that the hope is, specifically to your question, is that this helps them in some way, shape, or form to get off to a faster start. And specifically that first drive, which has just been a three and out fest, it has felt like for the Bears this year. So I also think, Olin, that it might be, there's something to change for the sake of change as well. There's not a whole lot of other things you can do. I mean, we saw the Shaheen move today, and then try something, even if it's not the right move on that offensive line, because what we've seen from the offense is just not good enough. So if you don't do something to make it better, then that's on you. So I think I think part of it is just do something, see if this works or helps in any way, shape, or form.
Hey, Mark, with Matthew Stafford out and Jeff Driskel getting the start, I'm anticipating them to try to run the ball a little bit more. And you mentioned Eddie Goldman is going to play, but how healthy is he? He didn't play a whole lot last week after the quad injury. I know he's suited up. Do we expect to see him a lot, or is he going to be a limited participant?
That's a great question. Honestly, I mean, I don't know, but just watching him last week on the sideline, like, he never really left the game, so to speak. I mean, he was definitely listed as injured and questionable, but he never went back, you know, to the locker room during the game. He came back in for one snap, and it was a penalty, so he got in on a penalty fest for the Bears. But, you know, just judging from the way they were working on him last week and trying to patch him up and make him feel better, yeah, I got a feeling it's going to be similar. If he takes a hit on that he'll come out for a couple of plays. So I don't know, but my guess is that you will not see Eddie Goldman in on as much as you normally would. But he'll give it a go, see how it feels, and then hopefully Eddie Goldman will be honest with the trainers, who I know will be following him around like they were last week on the sideline.
So, Mark, before we let you go, conditions out there, anything unusual? Weather going to be a factor, wind, turf, it all look like it should be a good go today?
Yeah, it really does, Paul. Yeah, I mean, it's probably about 40 degrees right now. Wind at the moment is not a factor. It's very still. Yeah, there is a chill in the air. No sunshine at this moment. The field, I've been on the field all over it today from end zone to end zone. It's in as good a condition as it can be at this point. So, yeah, I don't – at this moment, we know it can change, but conditions are good for football.
All righty, Mark. We appreciate it as always. Have a good broadcast out there. Hopefully you guys can bring home a win, and we will continue to break it down here at 670 The Score. Olin, I'm going to turn to you. I am not a fan of this switch between Whitehair and Daniels. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how well James Daniels was playing at center, and I'm not sure I understand what the thinking behind this one is.
You know, I went back because you want to give a fair assessment, Pat, right, of why they would make this move, and went back and pretty much watched every snap of James Daniels this year, and the communication on the offense is a problem. It's a problem for the quarterback. It's a problem. They're not getting on the right guys. They're not picking up blitzes. And a lot of times that starts with the center-quarterback relationship. So if you're going to be fair about it, you're going to say, okay, that's why they're making a move. Because James Daniels, if you look at his blocking, he makes blocks that a lot of centers can't make in this league. There was one against the Eagles Tariq Cohen takes it down to the 1 yard line. He reaches the nose guard. The guy's almost a two technique. He's more of a along the line center in the way of Rodney Hudson and Nick Mangold. If anybody remembers Nick Mangold, I think he was like an 8-time Pro Bowler. He's not a second level guy. He doesn't get out there on linebackers. He needs to work on that part of his game. There was a play where Miller, Mitch Trubisky missed Miller, the one everybody talks about, and he had some pressure in the middle. And I watched that clip, Pat, and I seen they ran an inside game, a tackle-tackle stunt. And I seen Cody motion to Daniels on the coach's film, so I turned on the TV film, and he yells out, "Pirate." And as a former offensive lineman, that means the game is coming. And James Daniels still doesn't pick it up, okay? So there is some awareness issues there that they're having with James, and I'm thinking that's why they're changing him. Do I like the move? No, but when your offense is that bad, you do have to make a change. Here's where my problem lies. It seems like an easy out when you make against the 31st ranked defense in the league. You're going to have a pretty good day anyway.
Can you explain to the listener the communication that goes on between a quarterback and a center when they're setting the mic call? I think it was documented all over Twitter, the one play where they said the unscouted look that they, you know, hadn't seen.
Yeah, didn't like that from Jeff Schwartz. I think he does a nice job on Twitter, but look, there's also a blitz pickup plan that you go into a game with, and Philadelphia Eagles never showed that blitz where they would add. By add, I mean, Pat, and you know what I mean, but well, for the listener, when the defense player is covering the running back, if the running back blocks, he will add to the blitz. And it doesn't matter how many guys you have blocking, eventually they're going to end up with more guys than you have, and the ball's got to come out, right? But if you're talking about on the road, there's not much communication, right? Because James Daniels' head's under. So Cody does a lot of that relaying and calling. And really, Mitch, in that situation, has to arrange the protection. And here was my problem with what happened there. They were overloaded to his left. Mitch caught the snap and never looked back to his left.
Right.
So you got to check those guys to see if the guy is adding, and Mitch didn't do it. But the fact that Mitch is struggling, everybody knows that, and that's the number one thing that's wrong with their offense. And if they think Cody's going to make him more comfortable, then you go to Cody. My problem with Cody is he struggled with snaps last year. Now he hasn't snapped a ball since who knows how long. How's his snaps going to be today is the question I would have.
Well, he had the ball, the bag out there in pregame, like Grody said, so he's good to go.
So that's a problem already, right? If you're snapping a whole bag of balls in pregame, you don't have a lot of confidence in what you're doing.
That whole bag of balls thing sounded like a Rodney Dangerfield line from some movie. I don't know where exactly that was going.
Actually, how many balls did he have?
Well, lots of news here for you guys. As we've had since we came on the air at 9 o'clock, Matt Stafford will end a streak of 136 consecutive starts at quarterback for the Detroit Lions. They are also without their leading tackler on defense, safety Tracy Walker. They're banged up in a number of places, but the Bears were not going to be left out. They've made some news now this morning as well. Adam Shaheen will be a healthy scratch. Now, it doesn't mean he is done as a Chicago Bear. Maybe he needs a really loud wake-up call, and if he does, I would think this would be it. It certainly does not bode well for his future as a Chicago Bear. In addition to that, Mike Davis was released yesterday. Ryan Nall will be healthy at running back for the first time, and there is a switch in the starting lineup. It'll be Cody Whitehair back at center, James Daniels at guard. Guys, you know, it kind of brings me back to what we were talking about in the first hour, which is how free are these guys to do the things they have to do to be successful? How tight a leash do they have on? You know, Owen, you mentioned the sack that Trubisky took on the unscouted look where they overloaded the left side of the line. I've looked at that play 100 times, and every time my first reaction is, if it is Mahomes, Watson, Jackson, what do? They take the snap, they stick a foot in the ground, they go up the middle, untouched for 15, 20 yards. So I asked Mitch on Wednesday, you know, when you saw that, and I understand it was unscouted, what were you thinking? What was your first reaction? And his answer was, well, we hadn't seen it before, so the only thing I could do was stay with the play, and I stayed with the play. I then asked Matt Nagy on Friday.
I'm glad I wasn't there.
Because I asked Nagy on Friday, I said, what is Mitch free to do what he needs to do, you know, to make a play? And on that unscouted look, did he have the option to improvise? And Nagy's answer was, nah, there was nothing else there. We hadn't seen it before. It was the only thing he could do. Other guys who play the position know when sometimes you just do what you have to do to make a play, and it just seems clearer to me that they're not letting this kid do that.
Yeah, and that's really well said, Hub, because the frustration comes again, Pat, when you're looking at it and you're saying, why aren't they trying to help him? Why would you go with that protection early in the game? Like, let's go through what they actually did, right? They had a rookie running back, Montgomery, in the backfield. They have a 22-year-old center. They have a struggling quarterback, and they put them all out there one-on-one. That's what they did. Basically saying, my scheme works, come hella high water. You just have to execute. If I'm in Philadelphia, Pat, I don't know about you, but my and I were a struggling quarterback on third and eight or third or five or more, I'm going to go what they call arc protection, which is seven-man protection. Tight end stays in, running back stays in, and you slide the line. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. I got Allen Robinson. I think he can win in one-on-one. I got Trey Burton, who hasn't won, but I think he can win in one-on-one, right? I got Taylor Gabriel, who can get by. You know where I'm going with this, Pat.
And you're right. In scouting the Eagles, you knew they were going to bring pressure on third down, and they're going to play man on the backside. And you just mentioned Allen Robinson. He can beat anybody in the league, potentially anybody in the league. So that's just helping out your team, putting your players in the best position to be the best they can be. Even if – and you forgot the Rashad Coward right guard as well is struggling as well in there. Help these guys out. If you're this genius of a coach, how are you going to help these guys out? And it doesn't seem like he's done that.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that – you can turn on the film anytime as a coach and say, look, if we would have made this play, look, if you would have done that. Well, how are you helping Rashad Coward? Look, when they overload the right side of the line right now, if I'm the Detroit Lions, okay, I put a guy on James Daniels, a guy on Rashad Coward, a guy on Massey, and I run games. Yep. Rashad Coward doesn't have a chance in the world to pick up games right now. Last week, it didn't even look like he knew they were running a game, which you would expect from a guy with his third start, and he's going to get better. And that's my problem with moving James Daniels. The kid was getting better and better, and now you're basically out of the playoff race. Mm-hmm. Why are you moving the 22-year-old center?
That's my biggest problem, because they are in that position, but – you know, we've been in that locker room, too. He's got to sell it that they're still in it. But us now doing what we're doing, we see it. That I agree with you. If you believe he's the future, just get through the struggles. Just get through the struggles and get ready for next year, because we're already there. I think even if they beat the Lions today, they're still there because they're so far back in the NFC race, not only in their own division, but everywhere else.
If I got to move somebody to help my quarterback communicate, I've just admitted that I've got a bigger problem than I'd like to have on my hands.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break on the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. On the other side, we're going to visit with the man, the myth, the legend. We are out here at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport, and Ron Coomer himself. Going to talk a little Bears football, not Cubs baseball. We'll talk a little bit of that as well. That's next right here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.